recent story based right here in Milford, making a lot of people a little nervous, on edge, if you will, in regards to Milford shellfish beds and bacteria levels. There was a story out of News 12 Connecticut this month, and it talked about sort of mysterious sewage leaks and whether or not it was going to impact the oyster farming in and around the Milford area. And so we wanted to talk to DEEP, and today we have Nisha Patel, who is joining us, I should say, from DEEP. And Nisha, thank you so much for joining us. What is the very latest from DEEP and certainly the State Department of Agriculture's Department of Aquaculture? It sounds like they wanted to work with you on what's happened in Milford.
Yeah, good morning, Melissa, and thanks for the opportunity to speak to you and talk about this. So before I start sort of providing you what the latest is, maybe if I could start with a little bit of background on when we discovered the issue and what's been happening in the last few months to try and really hone in on what the sources might be. I think that might be helpful for listeners. But just, again, with that background, the Department of Agriculture's aquaculture group routinely monitors bacteria levels in shellfish, of course, to assure people that it's safe to eat. And they typically use two indicators. One is something called fecal coliform, which is an indicator of sort of whether it's people or pet waste. And then there's another viral indicator that they use. I'll just use the acronym. It's MSC, which is more specific to people. But one of those indicators, or those indicators, I should say, late last November were high. And so that raised some concerns about the shellfish and the oysters that are being grown in that area of Long Island Sound. So in the interest of, again, safety, those two growing areas in that area were closed, and it comprised about 2,500 acres and seven shellfish companies that were impacted because of the closure. So that's really significant. Number one, it's a public safety concern, but there's a huge economic impact when, shellfish companies have to close as a result of concerns with bacteria. So late last year, the aquaculture group reached out to DEEP, reached out to the city of Milford to really work together on investigating what the source could be to bring those bacteria levels down. So we've been working with both the city and aquaculture to really figure out the investigation that needs to happen to try and hone in on what the source and sources might be. And again, I'm going to give you a little bit more background on what those could be generally, and then I'll talk a little bit more specifically about what's been happening in Milford in those areas.
Yeah, and I think it's important we have that context. So thank you. And again, for people just tuning in, Nisha Patel is here from the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, DEEP, which we learned recently was brought in to look at this apparent sewage leak in Milford. And it was first reported by News 12 that it was potentially threatening the oyster farming business. So continue, Nisha.
Oh, sure. So when we look at sort of elevated bacteria levels, we look at what the potential sources could be, and really it could be four things. One is, we've got a lot of sewage treatment plants in the state. Those sewage treatment plants collect wastewater, human sewage, and then treat it and then discharge it. So our first course of action in this case was to really look at the Milford wastewater treatment facility and those that are upstream of this area. And look at their data, investigate to make sure that they were treating adequately and their bacteria levels were well within the range that's specified in their permits to assure that the source was not the wastewater treatment facility. So we've done that in this case. That was the first sort of path of investigation to make sure that it wasn't the sewage treatment facilities that could be the cause here. Some of the other, then, once you sort of eliminate that possibility, some of the other things that we look at in terms of sources is think about what drains into the Long Island Sound. You've got sewage pipes that go into a treatment facility that then go into the sound, but you also have a lot of storm drains. that, you know, collect road runoff, that collect runoff from people's properties. All of that can also end up in the Long Island Sound. And then you've got overland flow from people's properties, town property, et cetera. So we really looked at what was then happening within the storm drain system to try and hone in on what the causes could be. So, you know, when you think about what storm drains collect, it can be anything that's running off, including maybe pet waste. So we were looking at perhaps the presence of pet waste or other animal waste in the storm sewer system. Sometimes if there's a failing septic system, there are some septic systems in this area. And if there was a failure from one of those, that could be contributing. Sometimes you even have instances where a home is piped into a storm sewer rather than a sanitary sewer, and that can sometimes even be an instance where the homeowner doesn't know that that's the case. There might have been a plumber who mistakenly connected a line to a storm sewer rather than the sanitary sewer. So these are all the things that we've been looking at. And what the town has been doing in consultation with DEEP as well as the aquaculture group is really honing in on the areas that drain to these beds. And in general, I'm not going to cover each and every street that they've been looking at, but they've been looking at Seaview Avenue. They've been looking at Broadway. They've been looking at all of the streets that intersect with Seaview, which is 5th, 7th, 8th, 6th, Wildmere, Hauser. So they have been methodically going through each one of those areas and doing a combination of things to try and find a source. Those things include actually putting TV lines into those pipes to see what's coming in and what's going out to make sure that there isn't any sort of illicit piping. They've also been cleaning and flushing out those lines, thinking that if there was some contamination from a discharge that occurred, if you flush it out and if it was only a one-time occurrence of this bacteria discharge, that would clean out the system. They've been doing dye testing and smoke testing of properties within these areas, again, to see if there's evidence of a sanitary line going into a storm line or something that should not be coming into this drainage system. And thus far, as a result of all of the work that they've done, they really have not found a sewage connection, which is good because, you know, obviously if there was a sewage connection, that would have been, a big issue. And it would have taken a lot of effort and sort of, you know, improvements to rectify. So thus far, it's good that they haven't found that connection of sewage.
It seems like it's still a mystery, though, Nisha. Is that the case?
It's very much a mystery. And I think what I'm trying to identify is that to some degree, this can be a needle in a haystack, especially when you've got a tidal environment, which is the case here in Milford. Obviously, the storm drain lines, you've got the tide that comes in and goes out. So whatever contamination from bacteria may be the source, it's sort of flushing in and out of the system, and it's really hard to figure out what it is. Again, the fact that a sewage discharge hasn't been found thus far is a really good thing, but it still means that we have to continue to do work to try and isolate what the issue might be. And what the city is currently focused on is one area that has yet to be completely investigated. And that area is Hauser Street and some of the properties that drain into Hauser Street. So that's going to be the next set of work and action that the city does in the coming weeks. What we are hoping is that as a result of all of the other work that they've done in this drainage area, meaning the investigation of the piping, the flushing out and cleaning of the piping network is resulting in some improvements. The data still is going a little bit up and down, so we don't necessarily have clearance through aquaculture to say that the beds can open and the issue has been addressed, but we think we're starting to see improvement as a result of the focus and the work that's being done in all of these areas. Okay. What I will say is, even though there wasn't a sewage connection that was found, in one of the storm drain systems, and this was around 5th and 6th Streets, there was evidence of a lot of dog poop bags. So we think that that might have been a contributing cause, or a contributing cause rather.
We are chatting with Nisha Patel from DEEP, the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. And picking up where the conversation left off, Nisha, you said there were signs, though, of, it sounds like, excessive dog waste. Now, would that be, dare I ask, people just kind of leaving their dog's waste and not disposing of it properly? You know, like when we say we found that, what would be the culprit behind that?
I could say that, you know, it was, there were certain instances of it. I don't know that it was excessive, but it was really so far the only direct piece of evidence that we have that this could be a contributor of the bacteria that we're seeing.
Okay.
But what could be happening there in terms of, so it's two things. When people walk their dogs, you know, one could be that the dogs are just, you know, the dog waste is near a catch basin and it's running off into that catch basin. Or even if you've got, you know, doggy bags that you're using to pick up pet waste, sometimes we've got folks who mistakenly throw those bags into a sewer because they mistakenly think that the storm sewer actually goes to a treatment facility rather than going directly to the Long Island Sound.
Really?
So I think, yeah,
oh
yeah.
My gosh.
So there's a lot of folks who still, you know, look at a drainage system and think that everything goes to a treatment facility, which is not the case.
Oh, God.
Oftentimes, a lot of the storm drains that we have in the state say goes to Long Island Sound, but that's not the case for each and every storm drain. So I think what I would tell your listeners is, if you're walking, you know, and you see a drain, just assume that it goes directly to the Long Island Sound, because more often than not, they do, and just be really careful in terms of, you know, any activity that could result in bacteria or some other pollution going into the Long Island Sound. You know, that can even be, if I can just diverge from bacteria for a second, even parking your car, if you know your car has a leak, don't park it near a storm drain, because in the end, that's going to end up in Long Island Sound. So from a civic duty perspective, it's really having awareness of your activity and doing what you can to assure that, you know, you're not causing pollution based on whatever you're doing on that particular day. So with pet waste, always make sure that it's being collected and disposed of, you know, via the trash, to really be as protective as you can be of water bodies. You know, we've talked a lot about what the sources might be. In the end, if we don't find a smoking gun, we may not know what ultimately caused this spike in bacteria. Again, as I mentioned, this is a coastal area. There's a lot of tidal influences.
Sure.
Sometimes high bacteria can be a function of a lot of geese in one particular area, and their droppings end up in the storm drain system. And because you've got tides coming in and out through a drainage system, it just gets locked into mm-hmm. that area. And what you have to do in order to get that out, flush it out, is rely on stormwater and rainfall
right.
to do that flushing. Sometimes you do heavy cleaning of the pipes, which is a lot of what Milford has been doing. So, you know, in one instance, it's really good that we haven't found a distinct source of sewage. So that's a great thing. But then the mystery continues, and then
sure.
you have to do all these other things to really cause the improvement you're looking for.
Nisha Patel, before we run out of time, I guess the final question I have is, should people be worried, you know, this summer, especially with eating local oysters, shellfish, things like that?
You know, I will say that aquaculture does a great job with monitoring shellfish to assure that once those beds open, you can have a really high degree of confidence that if they're open, they're safe to eat. And I'll mention one more thing, which is we've had a really cold winter this year, and shellfish go dormant during cold conditions. So the fact that we had temps that were in the low 30s is a good thing, because it's a higher state of dormancy for these shellfish. And therefore, whatever bacteria is coming into the water, they're not really taking in as much. So I'll also offer that to set people's minds at ease a little bit, that whatever has been happening with the environment for the shellfish, again, they're in a state of dormancy. They're not sucking it all up. And we are really hopeful that by the time they open, we will have done everything needed to clean out and address the bacteria issue. Because, again, we know it's important from an environmental protection perspective, but from a safety perspective, from an economic perspective, these are all things that we're trying to, sort of get done quickly so those beds can open.
And it makes a lot of sense. Nisha Patel, I want to thank you for talking through this with us and helping us to understand the very latest on it. And we'll certainly stay in touch with you if any developments come up, especially in the next few weeks after that final piece of property, that area in Milford, is being looked at. Would love to have you back on the show for an update if we get any. So thank you so much. Appreciate it. Nisha Patel, again, from the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, right here on WICC.